This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in the studio today.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
You've seen the ARC project, right?
The ARC project Ken Ham has put together.
And you've seen...
Abilities, ARC. Yeah. It was amazing. Work of ARC.
Yeah, it is. Did you know that he's going to build a life-size Tower of Babel?
Really? Life-size Tower of Babel is all part of the biblical narrative.
Yeah. Yeah, following the success of the ARC encounter.
So how's that going?
Creation Museum. Well, it's kind of plugged with its construction delays.
Why would that be? Communication issues, no doubt?
Yes.
Communication
issues. This is according to the Babylon Bee, which is a reputable news source. It's more reputable than CNN.
Yeah. A little bit of false news maybe woven in here and there.
Yeah, yeah. A little fake news.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's funny, though.
That is kind of funny.
Yeah. Babylon reproduction, Tower of Babel.
Let's talk about the Tower of Babel for just a moment, because that's going to tie into our subject today.
Nice segue.
Oftentimes,
Kevin.
Man wants to centralize power, but he also wants to accomplish something. Let us make a tower and a name for ourselves. Man wants to assume that if he can build something big, something impressive, that this is an indication that he is God, that he can save himself, that he can save others. And I think that's the agenda of Nimrod, certainly the empire builders of the successive 4,000 years.
So
we're always putting their faith back into the state. And oftentimes they refer to themselves as the king of the universe, or they speak of themselves as God, or the son of God,
or
the
speak of
God of gods.
In third person.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what is the Tower of Babel today? Because there's always an attempt to discard God and build for ourselves this monument to our wisdom, supposed wisdom of man. What is the current Tower of Babel project that's going on now?
Well, it has to be a demonstration of man's power, and the centralization of power in Washington, D.C., the centralization of power with the United Nations, all something of a replication of the attempt to centralize power, do something big, and give man the impression that he is God and he can save man's soul. But I think also technologically, you've got people who believe, at least over the last 100 years or so, that man can do something impressive. And indeed, when man sent rocket ships to the moon and began to computerize and automate so much of modern life, he has the impression that he is big, he is accomplished, he can do big things, and he develops something of a hope in himself. He develops hope in his technology. He develops a hope in his abilities to bring about salvation, perhaps even sometime a resurrection or a salvation from the inevitable consequences of sin.
But
that
they
is
always
death.
Fail. They always
but
fail.
They fail again and again. God brings them down. He brings them down over and over again. Here's an article from New York Times called The Church of Techno-Optimism by Margaret O'Mara. And she says, techno-optimism is something that drives so much of the IT crowd today. Here she quotes the venture capitalist Frank Chen, says it's now up to all of us together to harness this tremendous energy of technology to benefit all humanity. Said that in 2018 about his artificial intelligence. We are going to build a road to space. That's Jeff Bezos talking about a lunar lander last spring. Also, Elon Musk recently asked his Tesla shareholders, would I be doing this if I weren't optimistic? So there's an optimism that man is still retaining in the area of technology. He's not quite crossed the line of despair in the area of technology. Almost every other area, we see man over the edge, and he's embraced meaninglessness and purposelessness, and he's epistemologically self-conscious about his despair. We see that with the massive increase in drugs and the derelationalized form of technology used for communication and so forth and so on. But still, amongst the technological leaders, they believe that man can save himself.
So it becomes, as this opinion writer points out, the church of techno-optimism. And really, when you look at demographics, the young are more and more identifying as nuns. Not they have bad habits that they wear around. They do have bad habits. But N-O-N-E, they identify as not belonging to any particular religion because They have put their faith in the latest technology and through social media. And this is what this lady's talking about, is the church of techno-optimism.
One thing they don't come to reckon with is that the technology will destroy them. In other words, the technology that's been developed by science over the last 100 years has been increasingly destructive. Why? Because it is not formed in the fear of God. So where the fear of God has been undermined, I think we're moving into an era of some of the most nightmarish Frankensteinian form of science you could ever imagine, perhaps unleashed upon the world in the form of warfare, perhaps unleashed upon the world in the form of massive technological destructive elements. Certainly the iPhone, the iPad, the electronic forms that humans are using increasingly to distance themselves from human relationship will do its worst in terms of undermining social relationships and such. We've already seen that. But as man increasingly abandons God and develops science out of pure pride and ignoring the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in the science classrooms, friends, they will create a nightmare of a world. A mass-produced form of destruction is what modern science has produced for us. And that's because modern science is a religion, but is not formed, certainly, in the fear of God or the recognition of the true and living God. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Family relationships are important because this is the context in which the grace of God really shines. Our team at Generations is excited to introduce a brand new homeschool online summit, and it's launching on October 14th. It's called the Family Relationship Summit, and we are bringing 25 of the best relationship speakers into this online summit the week of October 14th through the 19th. We're praying that the summit will equip your family with God's wisdom in cultivating your closest relationships. We want to equip you to communicate with truth and grace in the home, and strengthen your family's unity, even through conflict, and lead your family to become a world-changing force for the kingdom of God. Our speakers this time include Vodi Bakum, Ken Ham, Stephen Kendrick, Ted Tripp, and Eric and Leslie Ludi. The Homeschool Summit, the Family Relationship Summit, is coming up October 14th through the 19th. Sign up for free right now. For a limited time, you can sign up for free at generations.org/relationships. Sign up today for this online summit at generations.org/relationships. And we are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you as we talk about this new techno-optimism that formed a religion for the millennial generation. It's been around for a long time. The language of techno-optimism first appears in the rhetoric of American politics after World War II, according to this article from the New York Times. Science, the Endless Frontier was the title of the soaringly techno-optimistic 1945 report of Vannevar Bush, the chief science advisor to Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman, which set in motion the American government's unprecedented post-war spending on research and development. That wave of money transformed the Santa Clara Valley and turned Stanford University into an engineering powerhouse. Dwight Eisenhower filled the White House with advisors whom he called my scientists. John Kennedy, announcing America's moonshot in 1962, declared that man, in his quest for knowledge and progress, is determined and cannot be deterred. But then in the 1980s, a new generation of technologists came into their own. They abandoned government support. They felt they didn't need it. The men and women who built companies like Apple and Atari still believed in technology. Place a computer on every desk and enabled network communication, they believed, and you could remedy society's failures and injustices. And they had disdain for government. I've never voted for a presidential candidate, Steve Jobs declared in 1984. I've never voted in my whole life, and so forth and so on. Well, then Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg talks about bringing the world closer together.
It's a Tower of Babel. We're going to build Tower of Babel. Yeah. You know, this is reflected in films as well. And I just recently saw Ad Astra, To the Stars.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. By the stars Brad Pitt. Uh-huh. He does a magnificent job. He's an excellent actor. But it's to me, and Tommy Lee Jones plays his father. And the premise is that Brad Pitt is an astronaut. He has to go out and find his father, who 30 years ago was sent on a mission. They thought he failed, thought he died, turns out he's still alive. He's sending pulses back to the Earth, which threaten to destroy it. Brad Pitt, for some odd reason, is the only one who can go out and talk his father off the ledge, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so you're getting these communications from his father that are really bizarre communications. He talks about God. He talks about, you know, the creation. And he talks about how we need to find extraterrestrials, and he fails to find them.
Mm-hmm.
But he says at one point, Tommy Lee Jones' character says, we will join our brothers and sisters in exaltation.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting language. That's yeah. Mormon language.
It sounds like a polytheistic form.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he fails. Brad Pitt eventually goes out, and when he comes back, he's much more human. But it's the idea that technology will solve all of our problems. We will advance, and yet it always ends in dystopia. It always ends with the final conversation between Brad Pitt's character and Tommy Lee Jones' character, between son and father. And the father says, we're the only ones here.
Yeah.
To which Brad Pitt says, we have each other.
Yeah. Meaning there is no meaning. There's no purpose.
No meaning.
There is no,
no
ultimate.
Purpose.
God does not exist.
It's an existentialist
yeah.
worldview. We must impose meaning on a meaningless universe. That was the Tower of Babel. That's the tower of social media that is being built today. That is this idea of the church of techno-optimism. We are optimistic even though there is no reason or purpose or meaning to life. We're still optimistic.
Man attempts for a moment to define his own purpose, his own meaning. He attempts for a time to establish what is right and wrong. Is attempts to establish something of an objective to work towards, but eventually he crosses the line of despair and has to acknowledge that there is no God, then there is no possibility of any meaning, any purpose, any ultimate ethic, any ultimate right and wrong, any ultimate good, and then he gives up to despair. And that's the process of thinking that works through all of these man-made humanistic attempts to build empires and to build technological solutions. It's an attempt to salvation by technology, world unity by technology, social justice by technology, prosperity by technology. There's supposed to be some kind of hope in technology. But friends, man has been promising salvation by money and by science and by politics since the Egyptian Empire of 4,000 years ago, and they have failed again and again and again. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again. Just read my upcoming book, Preparing the World for Jesus, to get the full message. But you know, Bill, this sounds a lot like this Immortal by 2045 initiative that was covered by Time magazine in 2011. You remember that?
Yeah.
Front page article. Man, immortal by 2045. It's this Kurzweil, the Ray Kurzweil theory yeah. that made it to the front page.
It's another humanistic.
Time magazine.
These are all humanistic endeavors. They jettison God. They try to put man at the center, and he can control his own destiny. What happened right after?
This is hysterical. This is hysterical.
Right after this article was
Ray Kurzweil's article, Immortal by 2045, on Time magazine's front cover in 2011. The life expectancy of the average American has been on the increase for 100 years nonstop. 3 years after the article, Man, Immortal by 2045, the average American longevity or life expectancy dropped for the first time.
Went
in
off the cliff.
Yeah.
Went off the cliff.
It's hysterical. Man says, we've done it. We're doing it.
We've arrived.
We've arrived. Yep. We've solved the problem of death, and man will be immortal by 2045. And then 2 years later, God just brings the tower back down.
Yep.
Other famous technological saviors that come to mind. The White Star Line produced the Titanic. And remember the promotional piece on this. Here's the quote. As far as it is possible to do so, this wonderful vessel is designed to be unsinkable. Famous last lines from other important technological scientists from years past. And what happened to the unsinkable Titanic? It
blub,
sunk.
Blub.
It sunk.
Yeah.
Here's another one.
Came the tire blubble.
You want to hear another one here? Is not this great Babylon that I've built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Remember that one? How did that go? Remember how that one went?
I don't think it ended well.
No. Nebuchadnezzar was put out to pasture in the back 40 after that.
Yeah.
Friends, this is what is going on with technology in America. Technology is killing us, but more importantly, technology is killing itself. The technology sector is killing itself, Bill. Forbes magazine reports that corporate debt bubble is now at $15.5 trillion, 74% of the GDP. It's the highest in history. It's up 10% since 2007. That was when we tipped into the last worldwide recession. And it turns out the most flagrantly irresponsible corporations in the world that have driven their debt to GDPs higher and higher and higher is the technology sector. It's media and entertainment. It's the telecommunications sectors of Verizon, Comcast, AT&T, Microsoft, Apple, Dell, and Oracle. These are the top indebted corporations right now. The corporate debt bubble is the most concerning for economists, and it's all centered around technology. This is the area of the corporate life or corporate business in America that's about ready to blow up, friends. We're looking at a major infotech bubble right now in America. We're looking at a corporate debt bubble at $15.5 trillion. Loans of concern are due for refinance this year, 18% next year, 20%. But 2021, it's 46% of these loans of concern are due. That's 46% of them due in 2021. The combined volume of $83 billion constitute top-tier loans of concern, up 22% since last June. It was $68 billion last June. Now it's $83 billion. It's a massive 22% up on loans of concern amongst the corporate world. It's effectively hitting the tech area more than anywhere else. Friends, technology is killing us, but technology is committing suicide already itself. So this is where things are. And by the way, salvation by the Federal Reserve is probably not going to happen either. The Fed has lowered the prime rate again. The Fed, you know, brought the prime rate down to save us from recession. This happened in 2008. It's happening again now, 11 years later. The prime rate maxed out at 9.5% before the 1999 recession, headed down to 4.25% to save us from that recession. It maxed out again at 8.2%, not as high as the last one, just before the 2007 recession, and then headed all the way down to 3.25% to save the economy in 2008. Now it's only maxed out to 5.5%, much, much, much lower than it was in the 1999 and 2007 recession. Now it maxed out at 5.5% just before the 2020 recession. It's headed back down to try to save the economy one last time. Now notice, to save from a recession absolutely killing the economy, you need to lower the prime about 5% each time. Well, our problem is we peaked out at 5.5%. We don't have much room left. This time we're headed towards negative interest rates, and this is the last Keynesian push to save an economy swamped in debt by adding even more debt to the debted economy. Pretty much this is it. This is it for the American economy. It's over now. There is no more envelope left for the Federal Reserve to press the debt prime rate down any lower, friends. We're just not going to be able to find any more envelope to save the economy in the next recession. So this is it. This is the end of it. But here's the deal. The Federal Reserve can't save us. The economic movers and shakers and manipulators can't save us. The technological systems can't save us. The government can't save us. So it turns out, you know, there is this technological hope, and where people are putting their eggs in the basket of technology, hoping that somehow technology might save us. But friends, when the last hope disappears, when the domino hits and begins to drop all the other dominoes, as governments disappoint us, as the federal government fails to be able to save us, as the Social Security Fund goes bankrupt, as the Federal Reserve simply cannot lower the prime rate anymore, what will the people hope in then? Where will their hope be placed then? The Bible actually does say we are saved by hope. So I understand the reason for the techno-optimism. I understand why our techno geeks think they're the savior and present technology as a hopeful area whereby man might save himself. So I get that. I understand why man wants to hope. We can't live without hope. We're saved by hope. But my question is, hope in what? Hope in technology? Hope in God? Hope in Christ? Hope that he won and that he is winning and that we will win in Christ, that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, because nothing can possibly separate us from the love of Christ. Is our hope in Christ? See, I think what's going to happen, Bill, is it's either going to be turn to God, turn to Jesus, or bust, or there will be no hope left.
We either put our faith in self, in the group, or in God Almighty. Everybody has faith. It's not that you have faith, it's the object of your faith, the object of your hope. And all others become towers of Babel that end in confusion.
And at one point,
and despair.
And at what point will people say, wow, trusting in the arm of the flesh is futile? Trusting in man is foolish. Man is a joke. Who would trust in Donald Trump to save you? Who in their right mind would trust
Elizabeth,
in Bill Gates?
Elizabeth Warren.
Or Elizabeth Warren. Or any of the other losers. Because without God, Bill, we're just all losers. And man is incapable of saving himself, and he certainly cannot save anybody else. And this is the message that we need to take to the world. Only God can save us now. That we are so gone, we are so destroyed, our socioeconomic systems are so wrecked, our relationships are so devastated, our moral condition is so degraded, our hearts are so corrupted that it would take God Almighty to save us now. And he did so through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to die on the cross for our sins and to beat the devil and to beat sin and to beat death forever and ever for us. All right, it's for us to believe that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Please, I plead with you, don't trust in technology. Don't trust in the Federal Reserve. Don't trust in the federal government. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only he can save you now. And that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.